prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the cross. And we thank you, our Father, that there righteousness and peace kissed each other. We thank you that there the attributes of God were displayed. We thank you that there we find grace and mercy. And we thank you, Lord, that there's room at the cross for one tonight. Father, we just pray that someone, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of the Holy Scriptures, might be brought to that cross this evening. Father, help us as we come to thy word now. We need the energizing power of the Holy Ghost. And we look to thee in the Savior's name. Amen. Just two short readings. The first one is in Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight on the subject, eternity where. And incidentally, if you haven't looked up that site that our brother Morris is heavily involved in, you need to look it up on the internet. Eternity where. And the word eternity, as far as I know, only appears once in the Bible, and here it is, Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Then over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and reading please at verse number 16. Verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're forever looking at the things that are seen, aren't we? Look at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who has also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Look at verse 18 again of chapter 4. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Arthur Stace was born in the city of Sydney, Australia, the child of alcoholics. He was brought up in poverty. In order to survive, he resorted to stealing. He stole bread and he stole milk, and he searched through scraps of food in bins. And by the age of 12, Arthur Stace, with no formal schooling, had become a ward of the state. As a teenager, he became an alcoholic and was subsequently sent to jail at 15 years of age. However, on the 6th of August, 1930, after hearing the gospel of the grace of God, Arthur Stace was gloriously saved. 2 years later, on the 14th of November, 1932, Arthur was inspired by the preaching of a man called John Ridley, the evangelist. And the verse that spoke to Stace on that occasion was this: Thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The evangelist that night cried, eternity, eternity. Oh, I wish that I could sound the word eternity to everyone on the streets of the city of Sydney. You've got to meet it. Where will you spend eternity? And those simple words proved crucial in Arthur Skate's desire to share his faith. In an interview some years later, Arthur Skate said, eternity went ringing through my brain, and suddenly I felt that I had a powerful call from the Lord to write eternity. And though he was illiterate and hardly could write his own name, the word eternity came out smoothly in a beautiful copper plate script. He said, I couldn't understand it, and I still can. My dear friends, several mornings a week, Arthur Stace would rise at 4 o'clock in the morning. He would meet with God in the light of his word and in the place of prayer. And at 5 o'clock, he would leave his wife, Pearl, and their home in Bulwer Road, Primont, in Sydney, Australia, at 5 o'clock, to go out on the streets of Sydney. And with a piece of chalk, he would write eternity on the footpaths, on the train station entrances, anywhere that he could think of. It is estimated that in 35 years of going out in the morning at 5 o'clock, he wrote the word eternity 500,000 times in 35 years. Workers arriving in the city would see the word freshly written, but not the writer. And so the man who writes eternity became a legend in Sydney. And today in that beautiful city of Australia, the word eternity can be seen in three different places. And you remember that tremendous tribute that was paid to Arthur Stace as the millennium dawned. You remember that Sydney, of course, Australia being the first to herald the dawn of a new year. You remember that Sydney Harbour Bridge was lit up. Do you remember that? And you remember that with flashing lights, in tribute to Mr. Eternity, this word was blazed, not only for Australia to see, but for all the world to see. Eternity, eternity, eternity. Dear friend, tonight, do you realize that before this year passes, you could be in eternity? Before this month passes, before this week passes, before this day passes, I wonder how you would fare. I wonder where you would be. A few hours before entering heaven, the famous evangelist D.L. Moody caught a glimpse of glory, and he cried, earth is receding, heaven is opening, God is calling, I must go. This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. I wonder tonight, is that how you'll pass into eternity, with confidence and assurance, knowing that for you it will be heaven? Or could it be that you leave this scene of time without Christ, without God, without hope? Lord William Russell, when on the scaffold about to be beheaded, took his watch from his pocket and gave it to Dr. Burnett, who was attending him. He said, my watch may be of service to you. I have no further occasion for it. My thoughts are on eternity. Just for a few moments tonight, I want you to center your thoughts upon eternity. It's a very solemn and sobering thought that within 100 years, every person in this building tonight will be in eternity. We'll be in heaven or we'll be in hell. We'll be with Christ or we'll be with the devil. We'll be in the glories of heaven or we'll be in the torments of hell. And is it not vital tonight that we listen attentively and yield submissively to the word of the Lord, for our eternal destiny may depend upon it. I want to draw your thoughts for a few moments to verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul says this: while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I want to share with you tonight just three thoughts that are flowing out of this text. Here's the first thing. I want you to see something which is passing the temporal. Now that's simple, isn't it? Something which is passing the temporal. Paul says the things that are seen are temporal. My dear friends, everything around us tonight is decaying. It's dying. It's coming to an end. No wonder the hymn writer says, change and decay. In all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. We're all going tonight. It doesn't matter if we're high or low. It doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if we're young or old. We are going. And soon we shall be gone. How challenging it is. Think about the things which are seen. No doubt Paul had in mind in this context the troubles and the trials that were his present lot. But he meant a great deal more than that. All that he had ever seen. Remember, Paul had been on three missionary journeys. He had traveled over part of the world that was his. And he had seen everything in Tarsus, in Jerusalem, in Corinth, in Rome. He had seen the cities which man had made, city and palace. He had looked at the things that God had made, the flowers, the trees, the rivers. And Paul says, the things that I can see with my naked eye, they're transient, they're temporal. Let me bring it a wee bit closer home tonight. Beauty is only temporal. The body is only temporal. Paul says in verse 16, he says, our outward man perisheth. The word perisheth means decay. In the very next chapter that we read into, Paul compares our body to a house. And that's what houses do. Over time, they decay. They grow old. They begin to fall apart. The paint begins to peel off. And eventually, you have to take the paintbrush and put it on that old house. Now, women can relate especially to this because nobody is more meticulous and more concerned about repainting than the ladies. You remember that Sarah was once a beautiful woman. She was once the admiration of the court of Egypt. And yet there was a day when her husband Abraham said, let me bury my dead out of sight. Ladies, tonight, despite all the cosmetics, beauty is only temporal. It will pass. You know, you've got 10,000 beauty secrets going around. People want to get a facelift. And then they want to get a second facelift. And then they want to get a third facelift on the tuck and so on. And you see what they're doing? They're trying to slow the aging process down. We're always looking for the fountain of youth. If it's not oil of ole, it's aloe vera or something else. I heard about a little boy that was watching his mother one night put all that white glue on her face just before she went to bed. And she would sit there for a few moments, put it on, and then wipe it off. I mean, you know what I mean. And that little boy was watching his mother do that for several nights. And finally, his curiosity got the better of him. And as his mother was sitting to take that white glue off, he said, Mommy, why do you put that white glue on your face? Well, she said, as she took the cream off her face, she said, I put it on, you know, to make me beautiful. The wee fellow looked at her and said, well, it ain't working, is it? My friends, tonight, listen. The fact of the matter is this. You can repaint the house and refinish the house and refurbish the house and strengthen the hinges and replace the doors, but this old house is going to decay. You see, God has written decay into my body tonight. He doesn't want me to settle down in this old house of mine. You know why? Because he's got a better home prepared for me in glory. Now, as I look down tonight, I'm looking at a bunch of houses. That's what you are, just a house. I'm looking at some big houses. And I'm looking at some tall houses. And I'm looking at some beautiful houses and I'm looking at a few shacks. You see, beauty is only temporal. My friend, strength is only temporal. Despite all the walking, men, and all the jogging, and all the weightlifting, it's only temporal. King David was once a mighty man of valor, and yet there came a time in David's life. You remember when he was an old man, they couldn't get heat into his body, and he had to be ministered unto, and life expectancy is now rising so high, and you and I know this, that the pension companies have to juggle their figures. In the United States of America, it reached a new height of 77.2 years in 2001. And when you realize that life expectancy in the United States in 1900 was 47.3, it's amazing that such advancements have been made in the last 100 years. And now they say Americans are expected to live 30 years longer. You wouldn't think that the size of them. But my dear friends, listen, they still die, for strength is only temporal. The things that I see are temporal. Beauty, strength, wisdom. Young folk tonight, you get all the education you can, but always remember that wisdom is only temporal. Knowledge is only temporal. Solomon, I mean, was once the prodigy of knowledge. All the kings of the earth came to hear his wisdom. You remember the Queen of Sheba came, and as she looked on Solomon, and she saw his wealth and his wisdom and his workmen, she says, the half has not been told me. And yet in his latter days, he played the fool exceedingly, and he allowed his wives to turn away his heart. I want to tell you tonight, the house that you're looking at is decaying. It's dying. You know, your memory starts to go, doesn't it? Maybe that's happened to you already. I heard about a fellow who went to a psychiatrist, and he said, Doc, you'll have to help me. I've got a real problem. Doctor said, what's your problem? He said, well, it's my memory. I can't remember anything. I can't remember where I put my watch. I can't remember where I'm supposed to go. The doctor said to him, man, you have a real problem. How long have you had this problem? The man said, how long have I had what problem? Let me bring it to you a little closer tonight. See the houses that we live in, and the homes we love, and the riches we accumulate, and the car we cherish, and the professions we follow, and the plans we make, and the relationships we nourish. They're only temporal. The things which are seen, my friend, is it not time for some of you tonight just to pause and see life in its true perspective? Do you realize that all those things that you're living for tonight, they're temporal? All your pleasures, all your sins, all your recreations, all your profits, they'll soon be over. You cannot keep them. You cannot have them. And that's why we say to you tonight with every fiber of our being, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The things which are seen, how challenging this is, how comforting this is. For when Paul speaks of the things which are seen, he's no doubt thinking about his toils and his tears and his trials and his troubles that were endured. He talks about them in this passage as a servant of Jesus Christ. Christian friend tonight, does it not comfort your soul? Does it not lighten your step? Does it not cheer your heart tonight that the things that you're suffering are only temporal? All of your conflicts, all of your problems, all of your perplexities, all of your burdens tonight, they're temporal. They'll soon be over. And they are even now working for you an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's why you need to bear them patiently and bear them quietly and look onward and forward and upward far beyond them. Something which is passing. But go a step further. I want you to see something which is passing, but I want you to see tonight something which is permanent. Something which is passing, that's the temporal. Something which is permanent, that's the eternal. Paul says the things that are not seen, God, Christ, Eternal bliss, eternal torment, heaven, hell are eternal. There's an old question that has been asked from time immemorial. It's found in the book of Job. It's this: if a man dies, shall he live again? There's the question to me. If a man dies, shall he live again? I mean, is death a full stop in the sentence of life, or is it just a comma? Now, that's a very important question, because there is something that life has in common with a street and a book and a film. Do you know what it is? They all have endings. Your life has an ending just as it had a beginning. Your heart has got only so many beats, and then it will beat no more. And your lungs have so many breaths, and they'll breathe no more. It'll breathe no more. And you'll come to the end of the journey. And my friend, when you make the journey, when you make the transition from the cradle to the coffin, is there anything more? Does death end at all? I heard about an atheist on one occasion who came up to a preacher who had been preaching on future things, resurrection and so on. He said, "Preacher, I don't believe one thing that you said tonight." "Well," the pastor said, you've told me what you don't believe. Tell me what you do believe." "Well," he says, "I just believe that death ends at all." He says, "I just believe that death ends at all." And the pastor looked at him and said, "So do I." And the atheist looked at him and said, "You believe death ends at all?" "Yes," said the preacher, "I certainly do." "Death ends all your chance for sinning. It ends all your joy. It ends all your projects, all your ambitions, all your friendships. It ends all the gospel you'll ever hear. It ends it all for you, and you'll go out into darkness and damnation, totally separated from God. But as for me, death ends all my wanderings, all my tears, all my trials, all my disappointments, all my aches and pains. Death ends it all, and I will go to be with the Lord in glory. But the things which are not seen are eternal." You see, if I could pull back the curtain of time tonight and let you look into eternity, that great unseen state of existence tonight, which lies beyond the grave, is eternal. It doesn't matter whether it's joy or grief. It doesn't matter whether it's glory or gloom. It doesn't matter whether it's grace or judgment. In one sense, it's completely unlike the world in which you and I live tonight. It's forever. There in the great eternity, there will be no change. There will be no decay. There will be no alteration. There will be no annihilation. Whatever tonight is beyond the grave is endless. It's eternal. It's everlasting. You see, while the word eternity only appears once in the Bible, the concept of eternity appears time and time again. Eternity is an attribute of God tonight. Eternity is a perfection of God. God's existence is without beginning and without ending. You remember what the psalmist says, "From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Paul says, "The things which I cannot see are eternal." Billy Sunday, the American evangelist, stood on the streets and shouted, "Eternity, eternity, how long art thou when 10,000 times, 10,000 years have passed? Eternity will have just begun." When you look ahead tonight, how long are you going to live? Come on now. How long are you going to live? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 50 years. Those years will soon be over. Eternity. Can you grasp it? How long is a million years? Well, a million is 1,000,000,000. How long is 1,000,000,000,000 years? 1,000,000,000,000 is 1,000,000,000,000. How long is 250,000,000,000 of years? 250,000,000,000 is 1,000,000,000,000,000. How long is 250,000,000,000 of years? 250,000,000,000 is 250,000,000,000,000. You say, "Preacher Dennis, I don't grasp that. It's incomprehensible." My friends, so is eternity. Because after 250,000,000,000 of years, eternity will have just begun. Do you realize tonight that you're living in a sphere that's temporal? You're moving to a sphere which is eternal. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Do you know what that means tonight? Well, let me tell you what it means very quickly. It means, first of all, the glory of the saint is eternal. The glory of the saved is eternal. You remember what David says? He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. Paul says, we're going to be forever with the Lord. Something which will not end. Heaven, it will never cease. It will never grow old. The psalmist says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. My friend, my Christian friend tonight, once we land in heaven, we shall go out no more. Peter says, the inheritance of the believer is incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. Then my warfare will be accomplished. Then my fight will be over. Then my work will be done. There will be satisfying resources for the Christian. The best is yet to be. My friends, we're going to a home which will never be broken up. We're going to a meeting which will never have an ending. We're going to a family gathering without a separation, a day without a night. Do you know what we are tonight as believers? We're pilgrims and strangers. A fugitive is someone who's running away from home. A vagabond has no home. A stranger is away from home, but a pilgrim is heading home. And when we get home, we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. Oh, the permanency of it. One of these days, you and I are going to settle down and we're going to be forever with the Lord. But listen, if the glory of the saved is eternal, listen to me for a moment, the agony of the lost is eternal. I see how you can fail to distinguish between the duration of one and the duration of the other. If the joy of the Christian is eternal, then the damnation of the lost is eternal. If heaven is eternal, and it is, then hell is eternal. How awful tonight to think that you, my friend, those of you whom we have pleaded with, and those of you who have been the object and subject of prayer, you're going to be in hell forever. Do you know who the greatest preacher in hell was? Christ. People say they don't like hellfire preachers, then you don't like Jesus. He was the greatest preacher in hell. Do you know what he says? He says, the fire there shall never be quenched. He says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. There's a book, there's a verse in the book of the Revelation that haunts me. The smoke of their torment ariseth up forever and ever. A place of never-ending torment. Place of ever-burning fire. Wasn't it Wesley, the founder of Methodism, who said, stick your finger in the flame. How does it feel? You can't keep it there 1 second. Think of what it must be like to have the body and the soul in the flames of hell forever. I'm here tonight to tell you, there's a road that leads into hell, but there's no road that leads out of hell. And that road into hell tonight is a one-way street. There will be no missionary journeys to hell. There will be no vacation trips to heaven. There is no such thing as purgatory. There is no second chance. You know what the Bible teaches tonight? The Bible teaches the eternal security of the sinner for once in hell. Men are in hell forever. Now, I want to ask you tonight, those of you who are not saved, those of you who are not right with God, I don't care your age tonight. You may be a young person. You may be a middle-aged person. You may be someone tonight who's just tottering on the verge of eternity. I want to ask you tonight, do you realize there's no chance of you being saved after death? I want you to see tonight that there's no hope of deliverance. If you die in your sins, you're lost. You're personally lost. You're eternally lost. You're tragically lost. story is told of a young man who was going out to a party one night. His mother was a Christian. She was concerned for his soul. And as he passed the door to pick his things up, his mother had set some gospel tracts on the just on a little table in the hallway. He picked it up, crumbled it up, and pitched it on the floor. She'd been praying for him. She'd been pleading to God for his salvation. He looked at his mother and he said, "Mother, why do you give me this stuff? Mother, is there anywhere that I can go that no one will keep giving me this stuff?" And by this time, the old mother was crying and the tears were flowing down her cheeks. And she said, my son, no one will give you anything in hell, for you'll be lost forever. Lost in the darkness, in the blackness, in the torment. I announced three deaths this morning. A young man who was buried yesterday. An older man who was buried today. Another one tomorrow. Now listen, if you were called into eternity in the next 24 hours, would you be saved or lost? Listen to what Paul says. The things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. Here we see something which is passing, the temporal. Here we see something which is permanently eternal, but here we see something which is pressing, the spiritual. I mean, is there anything more urgent tonight than you get saved? Is there anything more urgent tonight than you get ready for the great eternity? Now listen, there's an element of truth here. You see, it's possible tonight for you to know where you're going to spend eternity. It is, yes it is. If I were to ask you tonight the question, have you come to the place in your life where you can say for certain that if you die tonight, you would go to heaven? What's your answer? You say, "Dennis, I don't know." You say, "Can anyone know? Can they be sure?" My dear friend, you can know tonight where you're going to spend eternity. The Lord Jesus knew. He said, "I go my way to him that sent me." Christ was going back to the Father to prepare a home for a blood-bought people. Job knew. You remember that man that had lost so much, his family and his fortune and his farm, and he knew where he was going to spend eternity. He said, "Oh, that my words were written, that they were laid on the rock forever." He wants them to be inscribed in the rock. He says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in my flesh, out of my flesh, I see shall see God." He says, "Though worms destroy this body, yet out of my flesh I shall see God." Paul knew where he was going to spend eternity. He talked about being absent from the body and present with the Lord. There's the element of truth here. Listen, there's the element of time here. Our outward man is perishing. Some of you tonight, I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me, but I'm here tonight to tell you that you're decaying, and you're going down the hill, and you're dying, and you're not saved. Do you not realize that eternity hinges on time? Do you not realize that your destiny after your death depends on what you do in time? The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment, and as death leaves men, so judgment will find them. My friend, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. How are you using your time tonight? What are you doing for your immortal soul tonight? Are you preparing to meet the Lord? Well, some of you tonight, listen, it's going to be now or ever. There is the element of truth here. You can know where you can spend eternity. There's the element of time here. Eternity hinges on time. There's the element of trust here. For Christ said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him." Let me put it simply tonight. If you accept Christ as your Savior, you'll spend eternity with him. If you reject Christ as your Savior, you'll spend eternity without him. And so the question that confronts you tonight is this. what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Think of what the Lord Jesus has done for you. My dear friends, he came into this scene of time. Think of it, God incarnate. He says, a body hast thou prepared for me. That body was prepared for Christ for one purpose, that our sins would be laid on that body. And on Calvary's cross, what Carla's been singing about tonight, on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus died, the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He shed his precious blood to deal with our sin problem. And on the third day, he rose again, and tonight he lives to be your Savior. And Christ came to give us hope and peace while we live among the things which are seen and temporal. And he came to give us glory and joy when we enter into the things which are not seen and eternal. So there's something which is passing here, the temporal. There is something which is permanent here, the eternal. There is something which is pressing here, the spiritual, eternity. How will you face it? Do you know how Paul faced it? He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says, I'm in a twixt between two. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. I'm just wondering tonight how you will face eternity. Back to Sydney, Australia. Late one evening, a British naval officer was walking down the street of Sydney, Australia. He heard a voice behind him. Here's what the voice said. If you should be called into eternity within the next 24 hours, your soul would be in heaven or hell. Those words burned into his soul. And through them he came to trust Christ. My friend, tonight, if you should be called into eternity within the next 24 hours, your soul is going to be in heaven or hell. Eternity. Where? To think when heaven and earth are fled and skies and seas are o'er, when all that can die shall be dead, then I shall die no more. Oh, where shall then my portion be? Where shall I spend eternity? Let's pray. Meeting's almost over. Let's just take a moment or two. Dear unsafe friend tonight, let me just talk to you personally for a moment or two. We're not here tonight to try scare tactics to get you to be saved. We're just presenting the truth, trustfully in love. But we're concerned about your soul tonight. Some of you to whom I speak are getting older. One of these days I'm going to receive a telephone call to tell me that you're gone. And I'm going to be tearing my soul out to know if you're in heaven or hell. Some of you are young tonight, maybe teenagers. One car crash, you're in eternity. Would you settle this question tonight? Would you come to Calvary and take Christ as your Savior? Maybe God has been speaking to you, not just tonight. Maybe God's been speaking to you over a period of time. Maybe tonight's the final link in the chain that would bring you to Christ. I'll be at the door to shake your hand as you leave the meeting. I'll have some booklets in my hand tonight. If you want one, ask for one. But If you want to speak to me, please speak to me tonight. We're concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. Now listen, you can trust Christ. You can do it now. I'm going to pray now. After I pray, Carla's going to sing. After Carla sings, the meeting's over. Would you please leave the meeting tonight in a manner that befits its sobriety? Don't be jesting about. Souls are going to be in eternity. Help us to leave the meeting, Lord, prayerfully. Father, we pray tonight that thou wilt speak to someone. Take someone off the road to hell tonight and start them on the road to heaven. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you, Carla.